from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Alongside Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, PC, Chris Santiago, producing. We got you till 2 o'clock today. Area 45 in for In the Loop. I did not know. I was not familiar with the lineage of Reed Sheppard. I didn't know his dad was a baller at Kentucky. Didn't know his mom was as well. Mom is still in the top 10 in many statistical categories for Kentucky women's basketball. And his dad, Jeff, good job by Chris. I don't know if you've seen this or heard this, but was once upon a time ago in a dunk contest. I don't think this was a college basketball dunk contest, but it was some sort of offshoot. It was pretty cool. It looked like it was in the garden. We can have some fun with that here a little bit later. But
white men can't jump.
Oh, he could jump, baby.
Wesley Snipes taught me this.
No. You just talk mad-ish. Woody Harrelson proved to you that white men can, in fact,
that
jump.
That was a 9-foot rim, let's be real.
Come on. Never give up, baby. Never give up. I don't know if Reed Sheppard. Can Reed Sheppard dunk? Have we seen this?
Yeah, he can.
Reed Sheppard can dunk.
He can dunk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You heard Spo tell you, he's got a 42-inch vert.
Okay, yeah, but I mean, I haven't seen this in action. I haven't seen a
highlight. He probably won't yam it down on somebody, but he could definitely, if it's just him.
You're 6'3. You're 6'3 and you get a 42-inch vert. You could freaking yam it.
Dude, I'm not sure if I have a.
Is he 6'1?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I have a 42-centimeter vert.
Maybe.
I can touch rim.
Man, humble brag, huh? Not so much.
Hey.
I could touch rim at 20. That's 31 years and 60 pounds ago.
I'm looking forward to seeing this dude play
also
basketball.
Also, 2 Achilles ago.
Yeah. I had a really tough time. We've all seen him play. But after seeing him in a suit yesterday answer questions for the Rockets, I'm I'm trying to put him in a Rocket uniform and watch him on a basketball court in my mind. That is going to be the funniest thing ever. This really young white guy.
He looks 12. I love
it. That looks like he's 12. Just draining threes from 25, 27 feet. Ridiculous. I can't wait to see it. I'm here for it. And then maybe he does have that yam this season.
Yeah, and Chris is totally right. The him being listed at 6'3", that's like when Barkley was listed at 6'6".
I was right. He is listed at 6'3".
He's listed as 6'3".
But he's really 6'1"?
He's 6'1¾".
Yeah, that sounds about right.
He's not quite 6'2".
Is that barefoot, though? Is he 6'3" in sneakers?
Probably.
Yeah. You don't play basketball barefoot.
Maybe if he's got the max talls.
When you tell somebody, when they ask, how tall are you, do you give them your barefoot height?
You always
height?
Add an extra inch, man.
Every guy does.
You give your height in shoes. How often do you walk around barefoot
Never.
When it matters? Never.
Only at home, I guess. But even then, I still wear socks.
Sure. But. I mean, hell, I wish I could still give my height while wearing skates because, you know.
People ask me, how tall are you? I say 5'8". And I say it with supreme confidence.
So, 6'1 on a good day.
Here is something that I learned because, listen, as somebody who moved down here from, you know, north of the wall, there were certain things about culture in Texas that took me a while to adopt. So, for example, it took me 2 years to incorporate y'all into my lexicon. I will never incorporate fixin' into the lexicon because that's just stupid. Like, I'm not fixin' to go to the store. I'm going to the store. What's this fixin' to? You're not fixin' anything.
You're about to.
No, I'm going. Like, I'm going. What am I not about to do? I'm going. It's just, like, you know, it's idiocy.
It makes sense.
But, so, when my first year down here, you know, living by myself, my family hadn't come down yet. And, you know, Odyssey, well, back then, CBS Radio, being a part of the Houston Rodeo, I went to the rodeo, like, 3 times a week. Because I had nothing to do. And I found that I love the actual rodeo sports. And they're dangerous. They're awesome. They're hard as hell. I also like button busting because that's just fun. Not a fan of country music, but love the actual rodeo itself. But I didn't have a hat. I didn't have boots. I didn't have a belt buckle that's like the size of a football. I didn't have a fringe game. I wasn't into any of that.
But now,
fast forward 11 years. I got to go to this charity event held by Chuck Norris. I got to meet Chuck freaking Norris.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was so badass. But it was called, it was like a, like one of these events where everybody wears boots. So I finally broke down and bought my first pair of boots.
There we go, PC.
And I realized something really cool about these boots. I'm a lot taller in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I put the boots on. I'm like, oh, wait. What, how? I'm almost 6 foot tall. This is amazing. Yeah, I need to wear these more often.
Yeah, yeah.
I wear boots. I'm almost, not quite. I'm almost 6 foot tall, like 5'11 and a half.
That's good enough. That's what I need.
You know, maybe I can wear some thick socks. Push my way up.
You could attach something to the bottom heel, maybe. Make yourself a little bit taller.
You know, they used to make these things called Max Tall. They were these little, like, gel inserts that you put inside
shoe. Yeah.
And it could stack your heel up as high as 3 inches.
What?
So, like, you could literally be 3 inches taller by wearing this thing. It was almost like the way women wear heels.
Yeah.
So you were just stacking it inside your shoe so that you sat higher. It was like making a heel in your shoe.
Yeah, none of that sounds comfortable to me. Like, I have to be comfortable. This is why I've never owned a pair of cowboy boots.
I definitely looked at it as, I'm going to break my ankles if I ever tried to do that.
Yeah, but yeah.
You know what? For like 1 inch in height, just 1 inch, you know, hey, I'm going to go, if I could, like, you know, put them in the boot and then go from 5'11 and a half to 6 foot and a quarter. Oh, I got to do that.
See, have y'all seen the inserts in your shoes that make you allegedly jump higher? You know, there'd be the infomercials where they're bending the inserts and it's just like a rubber band. It'll just like pop.
That doesn't sound like it comes from Dr. Scholl's.
I mean, I don't know where it comes from. Some independent company, I mean, created this. It's like flubber. It's supposed to make you jump higher, but it's an insole. I would rather be able to jump higher than I would to, I think, stand like just a couple inches taller.
What are you jumping for? Who are you jumping to? Just make me taller.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'd rather be taller.
I'd rather jump higher. Because I want to dunk.
Well, I mean, you can work on that.
I'm 41.
And it makes it easier.
I need some help
when you're tall. Oh, yeah, but
I need some help, bro. I need a little bit of help.
You know how, like, I always say, I'm 10 years older than Bajani?
Yeah.
Well, now I just learned I am exactly 10 years older than Bajani.
Why now did you just learn this?
Because, like, you just officially confirmed your age.
I've done this before.
And now I feel like after the show, somebody is going to take me out back and blow my brains out with a shotgun.
Like, you're like, damn, I'm old.
Time to put this one here to rest.
Yeah. Goodness. You know, from a personality standpoint, like, I am far older than you. Like, I am a much more older soul than you are.
Let's just call him Grampy from now on.
Yeah.
Grampy.
Grampy. Mm-hmm.
Grampy Bajani.
Unfortunately, that has a ring to it.
Some when we get outside.
Don't appreciate that.
If we go outside, if you ever come out with us and you see Bajani waving his fist at the clouds, you understand.
Get off my lawn. That's probably going to be me. Let's be honest at some point. You too, buddy. You too.
Hey, I've already done.
You've got that element about you.
I've already done the get off my lawn. So I live on a corner property mm-hmm. on a cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighborhood kids think that sidewalks aren't important, and they just walk straight across my front lawn like it's no big deal. When I grew up, if I walked across somebody's front lawn, that person would have come out, whooped my ass, dragged my whooped ass to my house where my mom would have whooped my ass, and then my dad would have whooped my ass.
You don't want to mess up the beautiful St. Augustine. Do you have St. Augustine or Bermuda?
I have green.
You have green.
Okay, which is better than brown right now, okay?
You fertilize?
So I have a company that does that. Come on. I think I'm out there doing all that stuff. You're freaking high, man. Come on. So I had a kid come, you know, he comes and he's just walking. I catch him. And I said, do you think that's appropriate? I don't know what language that is. I'm sorry. And he gets, I said, do you know, if you come across the yard like that,
uh-oh,
what are you going to do if my dog gets out? And like, dog? I said, yeah, you ever walk past the house, you hear that really loud bark? He goes, uh-huh. I said, how big do you think that dog is? So do you think she's going to like you being on her property when she doesn't know who you are?
PC has a Maltipoo.
Yeah, no, I actually, I have a lab, and she's 70 pounds. So this is like the smallest dog that I've owned.
See, the smart-ass kid in me would have said, well, if the dog could get me in your lawn, the dog could get me on the sidewalk like 5 feet further away.
Yeah, well, so, you know, the kid's not that smart.
Kind sir.
Hence why he's walking across my freaking lawn. And then so he stopped walking across the lawn. Then I had two girls who used to walk across the lawn. They did it at holiday time. And I said to him, I said, do you know how many wires and how many stakes and how many things are in the lawn that you could get caught up in and get hurt? Oh, sorry.
Wires and stakes. What do you got going on?
I got all the holiday lights inflatables and all kinds of stuff. Tracing through my lawn.
Do you know how many landmines I have in my yard? You stay the hell out of here, ladies.
No, that's the people behind me. They got two dogs.
Yeah, those landmines. Those kind of landmines.
Do you also, like, look out the window and, like, see people walking their dog, and you're like, if that dog handles its business on my lawn and that person doesn't pick it up in like 3 seconds, I'm going to be out there and it is on.
You know, I could upset a lot of people here. Now, I currently don't have a dog.
Bad job by you.
Yeah. But
soulless.
People on my neighborhood page on the Facebook thing, they are insane. I know everybody can relate to this, but they are on you for not picking up dog poop. Like, if you go out of the house underprepared, and you don't have the bag. You don't have the little poop bag. I mean, they will call you out. They will call the HOA and, like, get on you. Like,
it's unacceptable.
People have taken pictures and posted to the neighborhood Facebook page, like, this is unacceptable.
Yeah,
this is, like, the fifth time in this location, you know, where this person is not. And I've observed this. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's not that big a deal.
It is that big
it's
a deal.
Not.
I don't want your dog's turds on my lawn. Why am I cleaning up after your dog?
I'm not even saying
you
your
know
lawn.
Damn well if you have a dog, you don't have one bag. You have three bags.
Your lawn is a
just
different,
in case.
It's a different story if it's your lawn. But if it's like the neighborhood, like common areas.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. These people are taking it way too far, man. Like, just calm down. They're going to cut the grass.
If you're on my
days.
Lawn, that you better clean up after your dog, or I'm literally coming out there and it is on.
I mean, I don't have a problem scooping it up myself. It's, you know, whatever.
I will say the apartment complex, like where I'm at, there's poop everywhere, man.
Dude, people are nasty.
Yeah, no, and I get it. Like, okay, you don't want to pick it up, whatever, but it's gotten to a point where there's so much where I feel like the front office has to say something. Because just like everywhere you go, it's like there's poop here. I'm just like, man, just pick it up.
Well, you know what they need to do? Like, if you're living in an apartment and they have a common area where those things take place, right? Just have a dispensary where you can grab a bag.
Oh, we do. We have like three.
Okay, well, then these people
yeah,
suck.
Yeah, people are just lazy.
Yeah, they're lazy.
Just lazy. Yeah.
You gotta, if you've got the dispensaries where you can get the bag, you forget, but it's there, and then there's a trash can. Like, that's what I'm... HOA people, like, get one of those. Get a trash can. Get a dispensary.
Do you know what happens? I mean, you get like a bunch of, you know, dogs handling their business. It's 100 freaking degrees outside. It smells to high hell. It brings every damn insect in the world right there. No, if you're someone who doesn't clean up after your dog, D-I-A-F.
Ooh, man. People got to learn that acronym from PC if you're new to the program. Figure it out. It's not that hard. D-I-A-F, baby. 713-572-4610. Let's hear from Reed Shepherd, who spoke yesterday, and this was my favorite response to a question from him. He was talking about how his parents, who both played at a high level, Kentucky basketball, mentioned this, mom owns multiple, you know, top 10 records. Dad's really good ball player, even played in the NBA for a little bit for the Hawks. This is him on him being raised by two parents that played the game and what it was like for him.
I learned so much from my parents, more mom than dad, but they were both really big on the whole basketball journey. And the biggest thing that they taught was just work hard, compete, don't let anyone outwork you. It doesn't matter if something hurts you. You get out and you fight through it. You can't be soft. That was one of mom and dad's biggest words growing up, is you can't be soft. So just having the mindset of every time you go on the court, you're going to play as hard as you can. And with the IQ stuff, I think that's just kind of, a lot of that is from mom. So I thank her for that. But, I'm very thankful for the both of them. And throughout the whole journey, they've had my back through it all. So I couldn't thank them enough.
I love that, because I feel like it was at least twice last year where Ime Udoka called his team out for being soft, especially late. I think it was in and around the time where both Jabari Smith and Jalen Green found themselves benched after a pretty poor performance in the final month of the season. And just hearing that kind of mentality that was instilled by his parents, I mean, no surprise. I mean, they're competitors. They're basketball players. That's pretty cool. And what I thought was equally as impressive is Ime Udoka talked about Reed Shepherd shortly after he responded there and was talking about his intensity that he plays with on the court, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, what team in the NBA doesn't need a more tenacious on-the-ball defender that's going to play the passing lane, that's going to create a problem for the opposition? Reed Shepherd, in that regard, I'm excited to watch him this year.
Tenacious,
yeah,
and on the ball.
Yeah.
I have a word for that.
Which is?
Syphilis.
Well done. Well done.
Listen, I'm going to hell for worse, so what the hell?
Ain't nothing wrong with that. I love it, man.
By the way, did you see on the text line from Joe Nasora?
Oh, what's up, Joe?
I think that cashier in training failing to count ones isn't going to be doing dancing for dollars in any local establishments for a living. Her counting to 45 is like Bajani guessing movie quotes.
Yeah, it is. That's bad. That is really bad. Well done, Joe. I don't know how you guys do that, though. That's incredible to me. You guys are just machines with the movie quotes. Drive me crazy.
It's called life. I don't have one.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, what did you do in college at 3 o'clock in the morning when you were too drunk to stay out?
I did all the same stuff as you. Like, I've watched many of the same movies, I would say, for the most part, and I just
can't remember them because you were that hammered.
I watch them, and then they leave me, like, as soon as the movie's over. And I could watch Super Troopers, Dumb and Dumber, Ace Ventura, 30 times in a row. Like, you and my wife are the same. I could say the first line of Dumb and Dumber, and she'll recite the whole movie. It's ridiculous. And no lie, it is ridiculous. That and any Friends episode.
In college, I literally learned how to play Magic the Gathering for nights when we were too poor to go out.
Magic the Gathering?
It's a card game.
Okay.
And there were guys in my fraternity who played, and I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? And they tell me what's going on. I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, I have no money. I have no money. I was like, well, crap, I have no money either. Kick over. Let me learn.
Yeah, that's how it starts. That's how it starts. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. Coming up next, we'll get you caught up on today's top stories. It's Hot Leads, Area 45, next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
These are the new leads.
Now look, I need the leads.
These are the Glengarry leads.
Two lead cards for tonight, two lead cards for tomorrow.
Why give him the good leads?
He's got the leads.
He's got the leads.
He's got the good leads.
The whole thing is the leads.
They stole the Glengarry leads.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
All right, first up on Hot Leads, as we give you today's top stories, Area 45 today in for In the Loop. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton with you. Strohs and Jays tonight, otherwise known as the Toronto White Walkers. If you have not caught on yet, it's what it is. 6:07 first pitch tonight. Ronel Blanco on the mound for your Strohs. Yusei Kikuchi is pitching for Toronto. He's not a bad guy. Not a bad guy. He's had a little up and down type of year for the Jays, but the Astro bats seemingly coming alive in spurts last night. A 5-run fifth inning, thanks to the bat of Yordan Alvarez, made it a game after a 3-run homer. See if that can get him and everybody else going into the night. PC Strohs enter play 3 games behind the M's in the West, 3 games behind the Courtchesters in the AL wild card tonight. So opportunity to eke a little bit closer. I can't believe, by the way, they found a way to get that game in Kansas City last night. They were in a rain delay in the sixth inning for like two and a half, three hours, I feel like. And they ended up finishing that game.
Well, it was kind of like the Astros and the Mets. But yeah. They had to get that game in because Astros aren't going back to Flushing.
Yeah.
So they sat there and they played that. That was a late inning. That ninth inning that they had the rain delay for hours.
Yeah, I believe so.
And then they came back and they won that game.
They did. Strohs almost did that last night. Hopefully they got a little mojo left from last night and get a dub tonight. Opportunity to win the series. If you could take this series against the Jays, PC, that sets yourself up for good revenge series against the Twins, who took 2 or 3 from the Strohs about a month ago.
Yeah, they owe a little back to the Twinkies when they go up to Minnesota. And Yusei Kikuchi, a guy who has kind of worked on the walk total this year, right? He's a guy who's always had pretty good stuff, but he also has issues with just the walks. Like, the walks just never end. Well, this year he's cut the walks down quite a bit, and he's been a little more consistent as a result. And this is a guy who, if the White Walkers, also known as the Blue Jays, decide that they are going to sell, it's a left-handed pitcher who is probably going to be on the market. And to me, like, this is the kind of pitcher that the Astros should be going to. They don't need a front of the line. They don't need an ace. They need a guy who can consistently give you 5-6 innings and just keep you in the game. He's cut the walk total down to about 2 walks per 9, but the strikeout totals are still about 9.5 per 9. So he strikes out more than a batter inning. He's cut down hard on the walks. This is a guy that, you know, at 33, left-handed pitcher, this is the kind of pitcher the Astros should be looking at. A guy like Eric Fady from...
you've been all over him.
Eric Fady from the White Sox. Like, yeah, Garrett Crochet is going to be the prize.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a guy who... If you're getting Garrett Crochet right now and you're in the pennant race, you're going to have to make him a reliever for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Because he's already passed his career high in innings.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep him as a starter, you'll blow his arm out.
Yeah, which is, that's such a, it's not attractive for me. If you're a team that needs starting pitching, you're going to go out and get a guy like that, and he can't be a starting pitcher for you this season.
And that's why, you know, a guy like Fetty, and you look at what, like, Fetty's career, right? He's not a guy that's had a lot of success in Major League Baseball before this year. He's 31 years old. You know, he's got a career ERA over 5. But last year, he pitched in Korea and learned a little bit, refined his stuff. And this year, biggest notes, right? Strikeouts are up, walks are down, homers are down, hits allowed are down. He's become a pitcher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that guy who's got a 3.23 ERA and a 1.13 whip, both of which are way better than anything close to his career.
Yeah.
Since he came back from Korea.
Yeah.
That's a guy who's got a 2-year contract, is not making a ton of money. 2 years, $15 million total.
Right.
You put that guy at the back of the rotation, and that's a solid pitcher. And
yeah,
nobody's talking about him because they're all talking about Crochet.
Sure. Well, I mean, maybe we should learn something. We were talking about the big guns in the offseason, and, you know, the Astros didn't go that route either. As you have kind of alluded to multiple times now in regards to Dana Brown being that aggressive GM, maybe it doesn't come by way of the big splash with a name, but maybe it's more kind of a la James Click, and it's more of a savvy
work in the margins. Is what I mean. Look, unless you want to strip everything out of your farm system for a big move, work in the margins is how they're going to win. And to me, that's a move. Getting a guy like Fetty is a better move than going for a guy like Crochet, who's going to cost you everybody in your farm system.
Yeah.
And you can't start him the rest of the year.
Right, exactly. Well, we'll see. It'll be a good follow. Trade deadline coming up July 31st, so you got a few weeks there. We'll turn our attention to the NBA. The Los Angeles Lakers kind of dominating the headlines, at least for today.
By
again.
The way, just real quick, do you know what Fetty's nickname is?
What?
Fettuccine.
Why? Fettuccine. Yeah, if he's an Astro, we have to think of something better than that, man. LeBron James and the Lakers reached a deal today to stay together for the next couple of years.
LeBron James?
At most, the deal does include a player option and has a no-trade clause. Shocker. It's a 2-year, $104 million deal. So check this note out. LeBron James will make more money in his age 40 and 41 seasons than Michael Jordan made his entire NBA career combined. That's crazy.
Well, they're like 30 years apart.
Still, that is crazy. $104 million over 2 years. NBA money in 2024. It's just, it is what it is.
This shows you how sports has exploded, right?
Yeah.
You think about what a what a team was bought for in, say, 1996 and what they're selling for now.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at the TV rights deals, what the RSNs pay in rights fees.
Sure.
How much money leagues bring in, how the explosion of salaries. I mean, it's...
Look at the Boston Celtics. They're going to try to sell the team, and what that ownership group back in 2002 bought them for like $368 million, $370, something like that. And what all the NBA franchises that recently sold, I mean, the Clippers were a story a decade ago that Ballmer bought them already.
That's
Has it been that long?
2014?
Yeah. I mean, that was for $2 billion. He broke the 2B mark, and then it was like, whoa. And now, I mean, there are franchises that have been sold for, you know, 3, 8, 4, 4, 2.
Celtics are going to get like over 4B, and they're only going to give up, you know, the majority, not the whole team. They're just going to give up a majority stake.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Sticking with the Lakers, the Lakers and Bronny James also agreed to a contract. 4 years, $7 million, guaranteed contract. They've also began to assemble their coaching staff. Adrian Wojnarowski, about an hour and change ago, with this report, joining J.J. Redick on his staff is going to be former Rocket player, longtime NBA head coach Scotty Brooks, along with Nate McMillan. Who knows where they go from here, trying to assemble an all-star staff, a lot of experience via, you know, head coaching, the minds, joining Redick on his staff. We'll see. I mean, this is a good move, I think, ultimately, for a team that just made a hire in Redick with literally no experience outside of, I don't know if this is true or not, but outside of him being a fourth grade volunteer basketball coach.
What, being a podcaster isn't experience?
No.
What?
No.
Yeah, they had to get coaches done quickly because they'd already been rejected by Terry Stotts and they'd already been rejected by Dwayne Casey.
Uh-huh.
They had to get coaches under contract because
you could do worse than McMillan and Brooks.
When you start getting multiple guys are rejecting you, the question starts to become why? Like, why does nobody want that job? And look, I got to be honest. If I was an assistant coach, I don't know I'd want that job. I'm gonna work for a guy who's, you know, become a head coach by being a podcaster and buddies with LeBron.
Yeah.
We know who runs the team. What's my job?
Yeah, yeah.
My job is to go, hey, LeBron, what do you think about this? Hey, LeBron, what do you think about that?
And everybody knows it. Everybody knows it.
You're not a coach.
It is no secret.
You're a dummy.
And not only that, but who knows? You might not even have a job, I mean, after the next 2 years. Because LeBron's still there.
After the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, no, it's not going to be that quick. You know, people are going to naturally be down on Redick. It's not even a referendum on him.
It's a referendum on the process.
Yes,
How do you hire a guy who has zero friggin' qualifications?
But
you're the Lakers.
But the result doesn't have to be, you know, equivalent to just the process. You might not agree with the process, but it could be a really good end result for Redick. I think Redick has, you know, the potential to be a really good coach. And it's based off of literally nothing other than the type of player that he was in his collegiate career. It's based on the type of player that he was in a 15-year NBA career.
Man, it's not even based on any of that. It's based
it
on
is
he's for, LeBron's boy.
No, I'm saying for me, this is why I think Redick, you know, maybe can surprise everybody. Not just most, not just some, everybody. And for that reason, I'm going to be interested. Now, I hope he does it. It's going to be despite LeBron. It's going to be a battle. I told you yesterday, it's going to be a headache, man, with Bronny in the mix, LeBron. Everybody knows it's the biggest open secret in basketball. Everybody knows who's running the show over there. It's LeBron.
I wonder what happens with J.J. Redick the first time he goes against LeBron in a game. The first time, like, they're in a tight game, fourth quarter, timeout. Redick identifies, all right, you know what? They're leaving this dude open every time. Let's get the ball to him. He's got an open shot. And LeBron's like, no, give me the ball.
Yeah.
It's like, LeBron, they're triple teaming you. Get the open shot. No, give me the ball. What happens the first time that happens?
I don't know. There's going to be drama. Yeah, it is a good question. It's going to happen. It's bound to happen.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It'll be something to watch for sure.
First time he decides he's going to David Blatt on Josh, on JJ Redick.
David Blatt. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Remember, David Blatt was the head coach, and they go to the huddle, and LeBron would walk past him. He wouldn't even be in the huddle. And then Blatt would design a play. They get out onto the court, and LeBron would just like, mm-mm, give me the ball.
Yeah, Blatt was just like, whatever, man. All right, that's going to do it for Hot Leads. Coming up next, I'm just shocked by these numbers. It is definitely the Caitlin Clark effect. And to what extent? How about plus 600%? It's next. We'll discuss. It's Area 45.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Area 45 in for In the Loop today. He's Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, Chris Santiago here as well, producing. You want to be a part of the show, hit us up, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. Texter, how the hell does Redick have potential to be a good coach? Based on what? Shooting threes? Redick never had never even had to go play. What does this guy say? Redick never even had a go-to play made for him. He literally was just a spot shooter. Okay, we're going to talk about, you know, the X's and O's in terms of when he was a player. He's obviously a really good player, really smart player. He's got a lot of experience playing. That's it. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be a good coach, but I've just told you, like, from my perspective, and it's probably the same thing that he would have said in the interview and even in any media session that he's been asked about, like, countless times at this point. Why do you think you would be a good head coach? Well, he's very recently removed from the game, understands this era of players, understands team chemistry, understands a locker room from having been, you know, in the NBA for 15 years. I mean, he has zero coaching experience. I get that. And that's inarguable. But it's an almost impossible situation on the surface, thinking that this guy's going to go in and have great success in the way that we've built up this narrative that LeBron James is this cancerous being and is hindering the Los Angeles Lakers for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years now, whatever it's been since he's been there. I mean, by the same token, like, you could step into far worse situations than one of the best players in NBA history and your first job. And so for that reason, and he's assembling a pretty good staff, you could do worse than Nate McMillan. You could do worse than Scotty Brooks. It's just a matter of, is he going to have the opportunity to really grow into the job? Will LeBron hinder him? Will this circus that has become the Los Angeles Lakers hinder his growth? And we're all going to be there to watch it. And most of you are going to be watching, hoping that he's going to fail. Because I think most people want to see, at this stage at least, LeBron James fail. I don't think that's crazy at all.
Not me.
Not you. Would you agree you're in the minority?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see J.J. Redick fail. I just want to see what, you know, how it's going to work out, that relationship with LeBron and him.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my only, like, how's that going to work out?
It is very much, you know, you driving on the freeway and you are doing a little rubbernecking, like, oh my gosh, that looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
That looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it from LeBron. You know, he's a villain. He's been a villain for a little while now. Why is he a villain? Because, well, I mean, there's countless, but he's won a lot. He's gone and had the opportunity to win a lot. And people like me don't appreciate the way that he's always done that. And the humble brag that he has become over everything in the last 4 or 5 years to me has been heightened. And it's gotten old. It's gotten tired. And so for that reason, I think most people want to see him fail, and by association, Redick fail. Patrick, you actually brought these numbers to my attention last night in regards to the Caitlin Clark effect. And I didn't really believe you, admittedly, last night.
You thought I just pulled it out of my booty.
I did. I believed this year's numbers. I did not believe last year's numbers.
So you thought I was deliberately downplaying numbers.
I thought you had to be misinformed.
My own partner doesn't even trust me.
Wow.
You believe this?
Well, that's how drastic the numbers are.
Hey, what's this in my back? Oh, look, it's a knife. I think this is yours.
I love it. It's a little extreme, I would say. The WNBA released its All-Star fan votes. And would you be surprised if I told you that Caitlin Clark is leading all fan votes for the All-Star game. Now, you've seen this, Chris, right?
Yes.
Okay, you've seen. Yeah, it's on the damn show doc. My bad. I mean, sometimes Patrick doesn't look at the show doc, so it's like, I know I can be spontaneous with him.
Whoa, it's different for me.
It's different for you.
It's different for me, too, when Sean says, hey, don't look at this.
Have you looked at this? To see, you told me this year's numbers last night. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it. I mean, I looked at it yesterday, but I didn't look at it today.
Well, I doubt the majority of our audience has actually looked at this. Most of them probably don't care. It's just amazing to me. 700,000 votes for Caitlin Clark. So last year's vote tallies for the All-Star game didn't even reach 100,000 for one single player. And the best player in the NBA last year, and I would assume that she's that this year, Asia Wilson, garnered 95,000 votes. 95,000 votes. What did she have this year?
600,000.
I mean, this is a plus 600% increase in voting.
And she's third.
Third. Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, Asia Wilson, Brianna Stewart, Angel Reese. Vote tallies range anywhere from 700K to 381K.
Even Angel Reese, who's got 340,000 votes, has the equivalent of like the top three vote getters from a year ago.
It's incredible. Like, should this surprise people? Should this prove to those doubters, the people that said, boy, like this whole Caitlin Clark thing, and never mind all the drama that she began her WNBA career with, which she had not a damn thing to do with. But the sustainability, like, she's going to go to the WNBA. She'll never be as popular as she was in college. The WNBA is just a sport that people in large don't care about. I feel like that is, at least at this point in time, proven wrong. It says the numbers are there. And I would suspect that if you look at the game that they had the other night in Vegas, which was the largest crowd ever for that venue, like 23,000.
Yeah, they moved to the T-Mobile Arena.
Yes, and they've drawn like the highest ratings multiple times already in games that featured Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. Just attention, the radar is up for the WNBA. Obviously, the vote tallies are up. People care. That is up. Is it sustainable? I would say the answer is yes.
Here are some things if you haven't noticed them, right? Early in the WNBA season, how many times Caitlin Clark was just getting absolutely mugged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dirty, cheap shots, clotheslined to the basket, just getting banged around all over the place, stuff that's not even basketball plays. But you look back over the last couple of weeks, we haven't seen any of those. We haven't seen any of those. Caitlin Clark has actually earned the respect of the league in Moss, because as they beat the crap out of her, and despite fans being ticked, media being ticked, you know who never said anything? Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All she ever said, you know what? It's a physical game. I just got to be tougher. I got to play through it. When they're losing a game because she doesn't get the ball for the last 3 minutes of the game, and she's like, well, I trust my teammates. I believe in my teammates. The whole world, even her coach, like 2 days later, said, yeah, we got to get Caitlin to shoot the ball. We got to get her the ball in that situation. Caitlin's like, nope, got it. You know, my teammates are good. I got to trust them. They're going to make shots. She always says the right thing.
Yeah.
And she has played through everything. She's played better as the season goes on. She never opens her mouth to praise herself, only to praise her teammates or to praise her opponent. And the dirty stuff has kind of moved aside. The cheap shots have moved aside. They still play her physical. They still play her tough. But the dirty stuff, the really dirty stuff, has kind of been eliminated. And you saw them play against Phoenix earlier in the week. That team has Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw before the game, Diana Taurasi comes up, hugs her, you know, tells her, you know, how much she enjoys her, you know, what she's doing,
yeah,
and
sure,
how great she is, and all the attention. Like, this is a woman who, before the season started, said, hey, when she gets to the WNBA, she's going to see what it's like.
Yeah.
And now she's played through a half a season, and that same person has basically been like the mother hen, right? Tough love to start.
Exactly.
And now, you know what? We respect the way you handled it.
But they put the challenge out there for, like, as if it didn't already exist anyway. I mean, making the leap from college to the WNBA, just, you know, college to the NBA, whatever. There's a challenge that lies. And, you know, for the greatest of the greats, you know, when you're talking about, like, a Rebecca Lobo or whoever it is, Diana Taurasi, they're going to pose those challenges to somebody that, you know, not necessarily that they feel like is not ready or not deserving of all of this attention and hoopla surrounding this with Caitlin Taurasi, Clark. But you're going to put that out there for them because you want them and you know in the back, like, they're going to meet this challenge.
The fact that it was Taurasi is so important because of how heavily respected she is in the league. She's 41 years old.
Yeah.
And she's a future Hall of Famer. She was a future Hall of Famer 10 years ago. Like, she carries such immense respect around the league that when you see Taurasi embrace her, now it's like, all right, you can't go against Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the head of the mob bosses, right? Like, when they've been accepted, when they've been made. Like,
she's the godmother.
Yeah,
right?
Like, she's the
godmother.
You can't
go against Diana Taurasi.
Exactly, exactly. These numbers are insane. I don't know how they handle WNBA voting, like, if you can vote multiple times, like, or up to 25 times.
Well, you know,
it doesn't matter, like, really.
In Bangladesh, there's a voting farm, and they just have people online
voting
all day.
Yeah, for sure. I know that's got to be a thing. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text, be a part of the show. Hit us up on Twitter, at Pete Creighton, the number one, at Sean Bajani for myself. Twitch and YouTube, watch us. Chat with us there as well. David Culley had more coaching experience than J.J. Redick. Yeah. I'm rooting for LeBron to fail, says the 713, his coach and team, and I enjoyed doing it. Caitlin Clark is better than Bronny, LMAO.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
How many can argue against that?
I don't know, man. I think Bronny would clamp her up.
What?
With what?
What do you mean with what? Trust me. I get it, Caitlin Clark, but, like, come
Caitlin
on, man.
Caitlin Clark's going to hit him with a double move and he's going to have a heart attack.
No,
right?
No.
That's
Come on.
Man, no. Caitlin Clark, she's a beast and all that, but don't, man.
She doesn't even have to move. She can stand at midcourt and drop threes on his head.
And he'll be right there covering her. So, man, I get the, you know, the whole Bronny stuff, but don't do that to him, man.
PC didn't go for the jugular. He didn't go for the kick in the nuts. He just reached right through the chest and just tore, literally, the heart out.
Molaram, Isaram.
Yeah. Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Temple of Doom.
Finally, two in a row.
That's two in a row. Let's go, Sean.
Woo.
Hold on. New day.
Where are we at? There you go. Bro, don't come at me.
This is a day that will go down in infamy.
Don't come at me with Indiana Jones movie lines and trivia. I'm all about that, man. You miss me trying to get me
John's
on
John's like, we walk from here.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, coming up next.
I'm very texter, little. You cheat very big.
A texter actually asked me this question during a break, and so I'm going to ask all of you. We can discuss. Which Houston pro sports team brings the most passion and emotion out of you? And there's obviously no wrong answer here, but I'll give you mine, and I think it might surprise some of you. That's next. It's Area 45.
Sabercats.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in can get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Live from the Twin Peaks studio, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Area 45 in the Loop today. He's Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, Chris Santiago here as well, producing. You want to be a part of the show, hit us up, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. Texter, how the hell does Redick have potential to be a good coach? Based on what? Shooting threes? Redick never even had to go play. What does this guy say? Redick never even had a go-to play made for him. He literally was just a spot shooter. Okay, we're going to talk about, you know, the X's and O's in terms of when he was a player. He's obviously a really good player, really smart player. He's got a lot of experience playing. That's it. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be a good coach, but I've just told you, like, from my perspective, and it's probably the same thing that he would have said in the interview and even in any media session that he's been asked about, like, countless times at this point. Why do you think you would be a good head coach? Well, he's very recently removed from the game, understands this era of players, understands team chemistry, understands a locker room from having been, in the NBA for 15 years. I mean, he has zero coaching experience. I get that, and that's inarguable. But it's an almost impossible situation on the surface, thinking that this guy's going to go in and have great success in the way that we've built up this narrative that LeBron James is this cancerous being and is hindering the Los Angeles Lakers for, you know, 4, 5, 6 years now, whatever it's been since he's been there. I mean, by the same token, like, you could step into far worse situations than one of the best players in NBA history and your first job. And so for that reason, and he's assembling a pretty good staff, he could do worse than Nate McMillan. He could do worse than Scottie Brooks. It's just a matter of, is he going to have the opportunity to really grow into the job? Will LeBron hinder him? Will this circus that has become the Los Angeles Lakers hinder his growth? And we're all going to be there to watch it. And most of you are going to be watching, hoping that he's going to fail. Because I think most people want to see, at this stage at least, LeBron James fail. I don't think that's crazy at all.
Not me.
Not you. Would you agree you're in the minority?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see J.J. Redick fail. I just want to see what, you know, how it's going to work out, that relationship with LeBron and him.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my only, like, how's that going to work out?
It is very much, you know, you driving on the freeway and you are doing a little rubbernecking, like, oh my gosh, that looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
That looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it from LeBron.
you know, he's a villain. He's been a villain for a little while now. Why is he a villain? Because, well, I mean, there's countless, but he's won a lot. He's gone and had the opportunity to win a lot. And people like me don't appreciate the way that he's always done that. And the humble brag that he has become over everything in the last 4 or 5 years to me has been heightened. And it's gotten old. It's gotten tired. And so for that reason, I think most people want to see him fail. And by association, Reddick fail. Patrick, you actually brought these numbers to my attention last night in regards to the Caitlin Clark effect. And I didn't really believe you, admittedly, last night.
You thought I just pulled it out of my booty.
I did. I believed this year's numbers. I did not believe last year's numbers.
So you thought I was deliberately downplaying numbers.
I thought you had to be misinformed.
My own partner doesn't even trust me.
Wow.
You believe this?
Well, that's how drastic the numbers are.
Hey, what's this in my back? Oh, look, it's a knife. I think this is yours.
I love it. It's a little extreme, I would say. The WNBA released its All-Star fan votes. And would you be surprised if I told you that Caitlin Clark is leading all fan votes for the All-Star game? Now, you've seen this, Chris, right?
Yes.
Okay, you've seen. Yeah, it's on the damn show doc. My bad. sometimes Patrick doesn't look at the show doc, so it's like, I know I can be spontaneous with him.
Whoa, it's different for me.
It's different for you.
It's different for me, too, when Sean says, hey, don't look at this.
Have you looked at this? To see, you told me this year's numbers last night. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it. I mean, I looked at it yesterday, but I didn't look at it today.
Well, I doubt the majority of our audience has actually looked at this. Most of them probably don't care. It's just amazing to me. 700,000 votes for Caitlin Clark. So last year's vote tallies for the All-Star game didn't even reach 100,000 for one single player. And the best player in the NBA last year, and I would assume that she's that this year, Asia Wilson, garnered 95,000 votes. 95,000 votes. What did she have this year?
600,000.
I mean, this is a plus 600% increase in voting.
And she's third.
Third. Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, Asia Wilson, Brianna Stewart, Angel Reese. Vote tallies range anywhere from 700K to 381K.
Even Angel Reese, who's got 340,000 votes, has the equivalent of like the top three vote getters from a year ago.
It's incredible. Like, should this surprise people? Should this prove to those doubters, the people that said, boy, like this whole Caitlin Clark thing, and never mind all the drama that she began her WNBA career with, which she had not a damn thing to do with, but the sustainability, like, she's going to go to the WNBA. She'll never be as popular as she was in college. The WNBA is just a sport that people in large don't care about. I feel like that is, at least at this point in time, proven wrong. It says the numbers are there. And I would suspect that if you look at the game that they had the other night in Vegas, which was the largest crowd ever for that venue, like 23,000.
Yeah, they moved to the T-Mobile Arena.
Yes, and they've drawn like the highest ratings multiple times already in games that featured Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. Just attention, the radar is up for the WNBA. Obviously, the vote tallies are up. People care. That is up. Is it sustainable? I would say the answer is yes.
Here are some things if you haven't noticed them, right? Early in the WNBA season, how many times Caitlin Clark was just getting absolutely mugged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dirty, cheap shots, clothesline to the basket, just getting banged around all over the place, stuff that's not even basketball plays. But you look back over the last couple of weeks, we haven't seen any of those. We haven't seen any of those. Caitlin Clark has actually earned the respect of the league en masse because as they beat the crap out of her, and despite fans being ticked, media being ticked, you know who never said anything? Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All she ever said, you know what? It's a physical game. I just got to be tougher. I got to play through it. When they're losing a game because she doesn't get the ball for the last 3 minutes of the game, And she's like, well, I trust my teammates. I believe in my teammates. The whole world, even her coach, like 2 days later, said, yeah, we got to get Caitlin to shoot the ball. We got to get her the ball in that situation. Caitlin's like, nope, got it. You know, my teammates are good. I got to, you know, I got to trust them. They're going to make shots. She always says the right thing.
Yeah.
And she has played through everything. She's played better as the season goes on. She never opens her mouth to praise herself, only to praise her teammates or to praise her opponent. And the dirty stuff has kind of moved aside. The cheap shots have moved aside. They still play her physical. They still play her tough. But the dirty stuff, the really dirty stuff, has kind of been eliminated. And you saw them play against Phoenix earlier in the week. That team has Diana Taurasi and Brittany Griner. Mm-hmm. And you saw before the game, Diana Taurasi comes up, hugs her, you know, tells her, you know, how much she enjoys her, you know, what she's doing,
yeah,
and
sure,
how great she is, and all the attention. Like, this is a woman who, before the season started, said, hey, when she gets to the WNBA, she's going to see what it's like.
Yeah.
And now she's played through a half a season, and that same person has basically been like the mother hen, right? Tough love to start.
Exactly.
And now, you know what? We respect the way you handled it.
But they put the challenge out there for her, like as if it didn't already exist anyway. I mean, making the leap from college to the WNBA, just, you know, college to the NBA, whatever. There's a challenge that lies. And, you know, for the greatest of the greats, you know, when you're talking about like a Rebecca Lobo or whoever it is, Diana Taurasi, they're going to pose those challenges to somebody that, you know, not necessarily that they feel like is not ready or not deserving of all of this attention and hoopla surrounding this with Caitlin Taurasi, Clark. But you're going to put that out there for them because you want them and you know in the back, like, they're going to meet this challenge.
The fact that it was Taurasi is so important because of how heavily respected she is in the league. She's 41 years old.
Yeah.
And she's a future Hall of Famer. She was a future Hall of Famer 10 years ago. Like, she carries such immense respect around the league that when you see Taurasi embrace her, now it's like, all right, you can't go against Diana Taurasi.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the head of the mob bosses, right? Like when they've been accepted, when they've been made. Like
She's the godmother.
Yeah,
right?
She's the godmother.
You can't go against Diana Taurasi.
Exactly, exactly. These numbers are insane. I don't know how they handle WNBA voting. Like if you can vote multiple times, like, or up to 25 times.
Well, you know,
it doesn't matter, like, really.
In Bangladesh, there's a voting farm, and they just have people online
in the
voting
Ukraine. All day. Yeah, for sure. I know that's got to be a thing. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text. Be a part of the show. Hit us up on Twitter, at Pete Creighton, the number one, at Sean Bajani for myself. Twitch and YouTube, watch us. Chat with us there as well. David Culley had more coaching experience than J.J. Redick. Yeah, I'm rooting for LeBron to fail, says the 713, his coach and team, and I enjoy doing it. Caitlin Clark is better than Bronny, LMAO.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
How many can argue against that?
I don't know, man. I think Bronny will clamp her up.
What?
With what?
What do you mean with what? Trust me. I get it, Caitlin Clark, but like, come
Caitlin
on, man.
Caitlin Clark's going to hit him with a double move and he's going to have a heart attack.
No,
right?
No.
That's what's
going to
happen.
Oh, dude, come on.
Man, no. Caitlin Clark, she's a beast and all that, but don't, man.
She didn't even have to move. She can stand at midcourt and drop threes on his head.
And he'll be right there covering her. So, man, I get the, you know, the whole Bronny stuff, but don't do that to him, man.
PC didn't go for the jugular. He didn't go for the kick in the nuts. He just reached right through the chest and just tore literally the heart out.
Molaram, Isaram.
Yeah. Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Temple of Doom.
Finally, two in a row.
That's two in a row. Let's go, Sean.
Woo.
Hold on.
Where are we at? There you go. Bro, don't come at me.
This is a day that will go down in infamy.
Don't come at me with Indiana Jones movie lines and trivia. I'm all about that, man. You miss me trying to get me on.
John's like, we walk from here.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, coming up next.
I'm very little. You cheat very big.
A texter actually asked me this question during a break, and so I'm going to ask all of you. We can discuss. Which Houston pro sports team brings the most passion and emotion out of you? And there's obviously no wrong answer here, but I'll give you mine, and I think it might surprise some of you. That's next. It's Area 45. Sabercats.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.